So much appreciated the worship time tonight, and I want to greet you in Jesus' name. Again, His name, that name above all other names, and I have to say that this whole evening I'm sitting here kind of a basket of emotions as I hear the testimonies of reality and truth. You know, we're so far removed, it seems like, from those things. But, ladies, I want to thank you for sharing. I often think of that because I have three daughters. And when I see you ladies, my heart goes out to you because I know the heart of those daughters of mine. And it hurts me to think of what all has happened in your lives. And yet I'm so grateful for a loving Heavenly Father who cares more for your hearts than I care for my daughters. And so thanks for sharing tonight. Thanks for sharing. It's not easy to share about things that hurt. And I'm so grateful tonight that we serve a God who cares deeply about each of our hearts, who loves us. And I shared with you yesterday morning about the attitude toward missions, the attitude toward the harvest, and the attitude toward the whole aspect of God's great commission to us to go out into all the world and make disciples. And I don't know if you have figured out where God has you and where He has placed you in those seasons of reproduction in the kingdom of God. But I pray that God will lead you. I know I've talked to some who have said, you know what, God did show me where I am, and it has been such an affirmation to be able to understand that. And then last night as we talked about the attitude toward God that is so necessary in forming a culture of mission. That if you don't have a high esteem for God, you will probably not be sharing and evangelizing because we brag on those we are in awe of. We speak about those people and those relationships that impact us deeply. Tonight I want to speak about another aspect that is very key in developing a culture of mission, is God's word enough. And I want to frame it in that question. Our attitude toward the Word of God, our understanding and our trust in the Word of God, the very words that He has spoken to us through His Word, has everything to do with the culture of mission that we establish. It has everything to do with how we will witness. There are many people today who are social warriors, social crusaders looking for social justice, but they don't trust the Word of God. Not fully. There are many social justice warriors who do trust the Word of God, and it influences and informs their cry. But there are many today that look at Jesus, for instance, as a great moral teacher, but they're not quite sure that they want to embrace everything that He embraced. There are many who think that when we look at the Word of God, we see God having a change of nature in the New Testament. Can I tell you that the Old and New Testament both speak to us about a God who is unchanging? And the one thing that is different in the New Testament than in the Old is that Jesus, our Savior, our substitute, fulfilled all of the law. And He became a substitute and a sacrifice once and for all that fulfilled all the demands of a just and holy God. But do you realize that God's moral law that was spoken in the Old Testament is still in force? The moral law was to teach us who God is and to teach us how God has designed us. Romans 13, the end of the chapter, tells us that the sum of the law is to love your neighbor. When you tally up the commandments, thou shalt not and thou shalt, the sum of that on your calculator sheet, that sum at the bottom is love your neighbor. And God was teaching us in the law how to do that. Guess what? In the New Testament, the ceremonial law of washings and sacrifices was laid aside because of a better covenant. But the moral law that God placed there is still the same through the New Testament. How we look at the Word of God, our attitude toward the Word of God will inform and shape our culture of mission. And I want to examine that tonight through the question, is God's Word enough? And I'm going to read some scripture tonight. I'm not going to take a lot of time to handle it expositionally because we're talking about the Word, and I want to let the Word speak for itself, make a bit of commentary along the way. But I would like us to turn tonight in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3. And even though it says there 1 to 5, some scribe didn't do that right. It's supposed to be 3, 1 through 4, 5. So instead of 5 verses, you'll get 22. Let's read. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Ladies, when you spoke tonight about reality, it reminded me of this description. That is the reality that we face in this world. For of this sort are those who, verse 6, creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins. Sometimes the Bible seems like it's almost not politically correct. I don't know what you think of gullible women loaded down with sins. I think there's plenty of gullible men loaded down with sins. But anyway, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I started reading chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, and it describes our society today. But it's described lots of societies throughout history. But for this problem, the end of the chapter says, we have the Scriptures, the Word of God, which are able and they're profitable and they are useful to thoroughly equip the man of God to deal with the situations that we find. The woman of God, the young person of God, the child of God. And he goes on to say that in chapter 4, the time's going to come when they're not even going to endure sound doctrine. But we are to continue to preach it. Continue to use the Word of God to deal with the things that we are facing. You know what? When you look at the world around you, I want to ask you tonight the question, is God's Word enough? What is your attitude toward the Word of God? Does the Word of God contain what is necessary to deal with the challenges that we face? Can the Word of God thoroughly equip a man without umpteen seminars? What happens to the person who doesn't have the access to those things? Can the Word of God still equip and energize and give what is necessary to meet these challenges? It's God's Word. Enough. Tonight I want to make the statement that our culture of mission is impacted by our attitude and perspective of God's Word. Several years ago, and I picked a couple of quotes from my musings. There are so many things about following Jesus and being about my Father's business in which I know that I fall short. In fact, if I were hiring someone for the position of ambassador for Christ, it would not be me. But God is bigger than I am and more gracious, and He has called me to represent Him. But here's a question for all of us tonight. Would you hire a man or woman to represent you and your interests if they listened as well to you as you listen to God? Would you retain him or her if they complained and griped about your provision and the tasks that you have assigned to them as much as you complain and gripe to God? Think about it. Would you appoint someone to represent you who is ashamed to speak of you unless they were asked specific questions about you? I don't know about you, but these are the kinds of questions that roll through my mind in the wee hours of the morning. The kinds of questions that I'm asking myself, because this journey of following Jesus and being an ambassador for Christ is impossible unless you love Him and believe that He is who He has said He is. And you will never be an ambassador of Christ unless you are representing Him as He is. As He is. Many people today are ambassadors of a Christ that they have formed in their own imagination. It's a hodgepodge of things that they've pulled together. And it's to look like Christ. And it has some sounds of it because it has some of His quotes. It has some of His teaching, but it also has much of the world thrown in. And we consider ourselves ambassadors of what that Christ looks like. Everyone alive has an incredible ability to draw a God in their mind that suits them and their understanding. But there's a real problem if that God does not match the God described in Scripture. God has given us everything we need to know and represent Him and to get along with each other. Do you believe that? God has given us everything we need to know and represent Him and to get along with each other. And I'm going to make a further statement. He has given us those things in His Word. The question tonight, and that should inform and that should shape the structure of our culture of mission, is do I believe His Word is enough? I ask you, is God's Word enough for you? Maybe it's too much for you. As I was pondering this question a number of years ago and praying about this, God, is Your Word sufficient? I felt like God spoke to me in my spirit and said, God's Word. He said, My Word is enough for all of my purposes. But it is often not enough for your preferences. My Word is enough for all of my purposes, but it is often not enough for your preferences. And that was convicting for me. God wasn't speaking that to you. He was speaking that to me. But I share it with you by way of testimony because God was revealing my heart. But I ask us tonight, how are you heeding His counsel in regard to the direction, provision, and activities of your life? How are you representing God? How well do you know and obey His Word? Do you realize that today, in a day and an age when we have more Bibles, more access to things online that teach us theology, you can get apps that will read the Bible to you. There's no excuse for not knowing the Word of God today. But in this day and age where we have more opportunity and more access to God in the West than ever before, we have a greater rate of biblical illiteracy in the Western Christianity than we have ever had. Do you realize that the average church member has never really read through the entire Bible? And yet, this is what God has given us to deal with the situation I read to you about at the beginning tonight. Can it be that we don't believe that God's Word is enough, or that it has the power that He says it does? R.C. Sproul, I think the greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests His power in the Bible. Everyone is looking for power in a program, in a methodology, in a technique, in anything, in everything, but that in which God has placed it, His Word. He alone has the power to change lives for eternity, and that power is focused on the Scripture. You know, Mark Twain once wrote, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." Like Mark Twain, many of us find it hard to obey even the things we know clearly from Scripture. We tend to simply ignore or neglect those commands of God which make us uncomfortable or make us stand out from the people around us. But is God's Word enough? Hebrews 4 tells us that God's Word is living and powerful. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that the Word of God is living and powerful? Or do you find this, when you read it, being somewhat dry and dusty, somewhat like trying to down a twice-toasted piece of bread without butter or jam? It's just, it might be good for what ails you, but it is just not pleasant. There are a lot of Christians today who find the Bible that way. Friends, the Word of God is living and powerful, and if you will do any kind of witnessing for the Lord, you better get into the Word. Why do I say that? Bible in 90 days. How many of you have ever heard of this program? Praise God. Amen. When I was pastoring the church in Indiana, I was it was about 2007, our lead elder came, not our lead elder, but one of our elders came to us. He was the elder in charge of Christian education. And he said, hey, could we do this program in the next Sunday school quarter? Reading through the Bible in 90 days. There's this whole program that's set up around that, taking the church through the Bible in 90 days. And I'd like to tell you I jumped at it because it was such a great idea, but I actually balked because as pastor, I was already doing a lot of reading, and I thought, if we're going to promote this, I'm going to have to do it. I'll have to be an example. Can I do that? And we went ahead and did it. And we had probably between 80 and 90 people that signed up for that class. And for 90 days, working together, reading through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, nothing chronological, just boom, right on through. And it transformed the church. It began to change the conversation on Sunday morning. Man, where are you reading? Are you staying caught up? What's going on? You know, and it changed it. We were talking about shared reading in the Word of God, and it began to impact our minds. I've got a URL down there. You need to check it out, scriptureawakening.com. You need to look into this, because there is something about reading the Bible in 90 days that does something to you. People say, well, John, I can't even get it. It's like I'm reading and my mind goes elsewhere. I said, you know what? When you take a bath, you don't intend to absorb all the water, do you? No, the water is meant to clean you. So go ahead and read. Whether your mind went somewhere, you just read. Believe me, the Holy Spirit will grab you. And it's okay if you miss 5 chapters today. You got another 7 to go, and it's gonna, you're going to get touched in there. If you would have missed it in the daily bread from that one little verse or two, you're going to find it when you're reading through the Bible in 90 days. About halfway through that 90 days, I felt like God was saying, you know, John, you need to do this again. And so I did the next 90 days. And partway through that, I felt like he said, you need to do it again. And about the fourth time through it in 90 days, I was saying, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. And then God said, John, you know, I'm not asking everybody to do it. You need it. And I did. I needed it. And for the next 7 years, I read through the Bible every 90 days. Why? Because I fell in love with the Word of God. The Word of God began to transform and change my life. And even as a pastor, it began to deepen my understanding about God. And friends, there's something about spiritual appetites. You see, with spiritual appetites, you don't get hungrier by fasting from those spiritual things. You get hungrier by feeding. If you don't believe it, just ask the person who gets addicted to harmful spiritual things. The more they eat, the more they want. But the same is true on the opposite side. As we feed on the Word of God and we feed on spiritual things, our appetite increases. One of the reasons so many Christians today don't have an appetite for the Word of God is because they are not feeding. And when you don't feed spiritually, you starve and you don't even know it because you have a no appetite. Bible in 90 days. I will challenge you to do it and tell me if it doesn't change your heart. I have challenged so many people to do this. And I had one young lady come up to me on a Sunday morning, and she said, I just got to tell you something. She said, I just finished the Bible, reading it through like this. And she said, I'm the kind of person I wouldn't have wanted to talk to 6 months ago. It has transformed my thinking. She didn't mean she was cantankerous, but she was saying, I'm the kind of person that believes this thing, and I wouldn't have wanted to talk to myself 6 months ago because I would have said, I don't believe it. The Bible transforms your thinking. Another young man told me, I can't believe this, but he says, I was such a liberal, I didn't even know if it was real. And he says, I finished it. And he said, I am so conservative in my thinking. I can't figure out what happened. The Word of God, it stands on its own. It's powerful. And if you're going to do ministry, if you're going to do witnessing, if you're going to have victory in your life, you better trust the Word that comes from God. Is God's word enough? Friends, is God's word enough for your life? Is God's word enough for practical living? Is God's word enough to sustain you while you're dying? Is God's word enough for faith? Is God's word enough for salvation? Is God's word enough for direction in your life? You might say, well, John, do we really need to question this? I mean, we all know the answer to these questions is a resounding yes, it is. It's enough. But I want to ask you, are you sure that it is a resounding yes? Are you quite certain that your life is a pattern of accepting the sufficiency of the Word? You can say yes all you want in answer to the question of, is God's Word enough? But friends, your actions demonstrate what you believe. And when you prepare for outreach, what do you study? Is God's Word enough for missions? Now, I'm not saying it's the only thing you have to use. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm wondering about your attitude toward the Word of God. I'm wondering, do you trust the Word of God, and do you find that it has sufficient insight, wisdom, strength, power, and counsel to do the work of ministry? Interestingly enough, when I preach, and I've shared this message a couple places, I get more pushback from pastors and missionaries than from the average congregation to this question. Because everybody wants to hedge their bet and say, yeah, but John, you know, we got to have this and we got to have that, and you need these things to make the presentation. I understand all that. I'm asking you tonight, if you had none of that, do you trust the Word of God? If your answer to that is no, I'm going to tell you that your mission culture needs a bit of a shift. Friends, many, many folks in many places have only portions of the Word of God, and they don't have a lot of other resources. But guess what? In those situations, God is moving through the portions they do have. Is God's Word enough? So often, we're not satisfied. So often we don't trust. It's funny, when I was doing this message, because I was assigned the subject of the sufficiency of God's Word, and the only thing I could think of is God's Word enough? Because that seemed to me the best way to ask the question, is it sufficient? And I go to research the subject, and I'm arrested in my spirit. God's saying, John, is my Word enough? Yes, Lord, but I just wanted to read how others have approached this. And almost with a chuckle, is my Word enough? Is my Word enough? Well, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Yes, but is it enough? God's Word is eternal. Yes, but is it enough? God's Word, like His character, never changes. But is it enough? No one is to add to or take away from God's Word. Yes, but is it enough? Is God's Word enough when you sit down to counsel the wounded? Is God's Word enough to tell you what it means to be a member in the family of God? Is God's Word enough when you need to correct an erring member? Is God's Word enough to instruct us in godly living in every culture and in every age? So, now I'm going to use a story, and you're going to say, see, you're not just using the Word of God, but I'm going to share with you. I was in Ghana, West Africa, and many times I'd go over about once a year to do ministry there, 2 or 3 weeks at a time, working with pastors, and I was sharing with them God's design in marriage. And I preached my heart out, teaching them about God's design in marriage, and laid it all out scripturally. And when I was done, I asked them, do you understand what I was teaching, and does this? And they said, oh, yes. That is exactly what the Word of God says, but it doesn't work here. How many of you have run into those situations where you can look at the Word of God and you say, yes, that's exactly what it says, but it doesn't apply to my... It doesn't work here. That's what it says, but there's no way. You see, we are hitting the spot where we are saying, oh, is God's word enough? Do I trust it? Because that's what we're dealing with, is do I trust the word of God? Why do we abandon the word of God simply because we don't know how to apply it without pain? Some things that are in the word of God, if we were to tell people today, they would say, well, that sounds hateful. And it's not at all. We're not, and that's not even the heart, but we're just saying this is what the scripture says. And do we abandon it just because it's painful to share it? You see, these are the things that God has given us to counter that very pattern of behavior I first read in 2 Timothy 3. How do we handle the Word of God? Why, when we can read and understand plainly what the Word of God is saying, do we still justify defiance of the Word? So there are portions of God's Word that seem difficult. Is God's Word enough to explain those difficulties if we read it together? That's the beauty of reading through the Bible in 90 days. I discovered that the Bible went from being this miles-long book to being quite short, and every time I read, it gets incredibly deeper because it's explaining itself. And I'm beginning to see wondrous things as the psalmist prays. He says, "Show, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see, somewhere along the line, it struck me that I'm getting close enough to my birthday in times through the Bible that maybe what I should do is try to read through the Bible enough times that when I get too old or too feeble to read anymore, I will have been able to read the Bible for as many years as I live. My wife says, please don't stop. Keep reading, because I think God may hold you to that. Today I'm working on four times past my birthday. So I'm excited about that. It's a good thing. But as I read it, it gets deeper. It gets deeper and fuller, and I begin to understand and see things more clearly. And I want to encourage you to read. Now, there's a very important truth to remember when we read God's Word. God's Word is eternal. It is eternally true, eternally powerful, and eternally relevant. If you look at that circle on that slide, and you see there, it's a circle. Now, that represents eternity for the sake of argument. In the center, you'll see that little line of time. Time is hosted in eternity. Time and space are hosted in eternity and infinity. God exists in eternity. And if you look at this, it doesn't matter how... I mean, that circle is way, way out of... it's not even close to proportion. If you were looking at eternity and that little line of time, it would extend far out. In fact, if you could get one little fiber from the carpet in this place, just one little fiber, and stick it in the middle of this room and have this whole room represent eternity, that's closer, but it's still not even close. That's how big eternity is. But you'll notice that all around the line of time is eternity. And when we die, we don't end. We simply pass through the wall of eternity that's been around us all the time. We are living in eternity, although we have the boundaries of time and space to help us feel better. Can I tell you something? Jesus said in the Gospels that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Do you know what Jesus was telling us? Is that my word is timeless. God spoke his word from eternity into time, but the word did not originate in time, so time cannot affect it. Context. The scripture came to a particular context, but do you realize that the word of God that he spoke any time in history came from eternity into time and therefore will never fade? What originates in eternity cannot be diminished by time. So these promises, these truths, these instructions are as valid today as when God spoke them. The truth is there. Now, maybe they don't apply to us quite like they did the context that they came to, but they are still true. That word doesn't pass away. Can I get you to understand that what originates in eternity and enters time is not affected by time as far as aging or going out of style? Yeah, we have things that go out of style, but can I tell you something? The Word of God that was spoken throughout history is eternally true. It's eternally powerful. It has not lost any bit of its power. And it's still relevant today. Looking at the Word of God through that lens should make us take a second look and say, wait a minute. So why do I doubt it? Do you guys speed that thing up every time I get up to talk? I think you must. Or either that or I just, whoo, there's so much on my heart to share, and we're getting right down to the wire here. Let me just let me just move right on down here to my final points. I want to make one little point here. How we approach the reading of the Word of God is important. Many people today approach the Bible as if it is a textbook or a philosophy book or an instruction book. But what it actually is a very personal communication from our Creator to us. We approach different types of writing in different ways. When I get a letter from Revenue Canada or Immigration, I see that a whole lot different than when I get a letter from my wife or a card or something. At least I better. But it really is different. And there's a different tone. There's a different relationship. And when we read the Word of God like a textbook, dry, dull, boring, it's going to be different than when we read it as the very words of a loving Father. We need to stop seeing the Bible as a textbook and begin to see it as a personal communication to us from our God, our Father, and our Creator. Real quick. God's Word is enough in creation. Genesis 1. God spoke and God saw. Interestingly enough, God still asks us to do that, to operate in faith. What did God do? He spoke before He saw. God spoke and God saw. It's beautiful. And there are many things that we are going to face that we're going to need to speak to before we see it. We're going to need to believe it before we see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God spoke and then He saw. You'll see that repeated over and over because God spoke the truth of what He was intending to do and it came about. So He spoke in creation. And we're going to see it if you read. Go ahead and take a picture of that or whatever you want to do, because I'm not going to read these. I was going to read these, and we were going to say find out by reading them that God's Word is enough, but you're going to find out by reading them that God's Word is enough. So that's the assignment from tonight. That way you can get home. His Word is enough to sustain creation. The same Word that brought the earth into being is the same Word that still holds it. God's Word is enough for judgment. In fact, Jesus said, there's one that will judge you, the Word that I've spoken. God's Word is enough to reveal sin. The Scripture has contained all under sin. God's Word is enough for faith and salvation. Read Romans 1:16 or 10, 13 to 17. You're going to see that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is enough for sanctification. God's Word is enough for holy living. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. God's Word is enough to cause a world to hate us. Jesus prayed that in His prayer. Well, no talk about the Word of God would be complete without this. The written Word and the living Word. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. But in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If we read on in John 14, 15, and 16, we're going to realize that Jesus talked about another one who would come and abide with us forever. The living Word would come back when Jesus left and would be in us. And when the living Word of God activates the written Word, there is power. There is power. And friends, the living Word has promised to live within us by His Spirit. And when we get down to reading that written Word, suddenly His Word is enough. When the living Word activates the written Word, He is more than enough. He is more than enough. And then God's Word is enough to complete His plan. Revelation 19, 11 to 21 tells us that He has a name, the Word of God. And that out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. And that sharp sword does a lot of things in Revelation. But it is enough to complete His plan. My question to you tonight is God's Word enough for you? If it isn't, your mission culture needs a gigantic shakeup. If it is enough, and His Word is the foundation of your life and your mission, it's going to be an unstoppable one. May God bless you.